I want to think for a little bit about God's relationship with Israel in terms of being her husband, because Israel are presented in Jeremiah, in Hosea, in Ezekiel as being unfaithful to God, and yet he was her husband. When you find in the Law of Moses the teaching about divorce and what to do if the wife committed adultery, you find that there is not simply one teaching. You take Deuteronomy 24, verse 1, when a man takes a wife and marries her, if she finds no favour in his eyes because he has found some unseemly thing in her, he shall write a bill of divorce, give it into her hand, and send her away. And she can go and be married to somebody else. But he must not remarry her. This is strongly stressed in Deuteronomy 24. Her former husband who sent her away, this is Deuteronomy 24:4, may not take her again to be his wife after she's defiled, for that is abomination before Yahweh. You shall not cause the land to sin, which Yahweh your God gives you. You shall not defile the land. So, looking at other parts of the law, if a woman committed adultery, you could stone her to death, you could burn her, you could kill her. Or, Numbers 5, you can put her through the trial of jealousy. She has to drink some water with dust in it, and if she's guilty, then she will be barren, and she won't be able to have children, but she's not to be killed. Or you can divorce her, and she, as we just read, and she can become another person's wife. Or you have the option of Hosea, who, in his relationship with Gomer, who was adulterous, was representing God. In his relationship with Israel, you can forgive her time and again. So it is a misunderstanding of the nature of God's law to say that it was, you know, just case law and absolute literalism, that if you did this, then that shall happen. There were all sorts of different levels of response that were possible. Like you could offer different kinds of sacrifices of different value. And those different possibilities of response reflect a feature that is an abiding feature of how God deals with us. You look at the parables, one person will trade the talent they're given more than others and will get a bigger reward. 10 cities, 5 cities, 2 cities. One star will outshine another in eternal glory, Paul seems to be saying in Corinthians. So you see then that different people are going to live on different levels, and they're going to make a different amount of God's truth. Now, that should not pull us down to minimalism, thinking, well, okay, I can do the minimum. Yeah, God will sort of take it. Not at all. If there's levels of response, surely, if you love God, and this is the key thing, you will want to respond on the highest level. You won't be looking for the minimum. You'll be looking for the highest level of response. And it also helps us in coping with how other people appear to be responding to the same truths that we've been given somewhat less than maybe they should or than we think that we are responding. And it's that inability, I think, to cope with that which causes so much interpersonal friction within churches, groups, families, etc. And yet the way of grace is to accept that God accepts that, and so should we. And instead of looking at other people's response, look at your own response and respond on the highest level. Well, I've said that under the law, God really emphasizes you must not remarry the woman you divorced. And yet that is the whole point, I think, of what you have in Jeremiah 3 and Jeremiah 4, where God says, although you have been divorced, return to me. This is the huge significance of all the many, many times when God invites Israel to return and to be married to him. But they already had been married to him. And he says here in Deuteronomy 24 that this is an abomination to him. So you see how much he absolutely, let's say, abnegates himself. He puts himself right down. He does what he finds disgusting and an abomination because he so loves his people and he so wants relationship with them. And he says, if you do this, if you remarry a woman who you divorced for adultery, the land will be defiled. That's a very phrase used in Jeremiah 16, verse 18, that because of your adultery, the land is defiled. But the whole message of Jeremiah is, return to me. Come back. Let's remarry. So the whole idea that God is some kind of facing off against man over an open Bible and says, well, it's up to you. You want to tick the boxes. I'll see you at the day of judgment and we'll see how you got on. And, you know, if you ticked enough, then we'll save you. But it's up to you. I'm busy. I'll see you at the day of judgment. I'm somewhat distant from you now, but we'll see how you get on. See you later. No, this is so wrong. This is not the God that you see here reflected at all in the Old Testament scriptures. He is far more proactive than that. He is far more almost begging, with the begging of a lover. He's begging for relationship with us almost on any terms. Of course I say almost, because there are, well, there's not terms and conditions attached, but let's put it this way, that if you don't want it, if in the final end you're going to crucify his son and say, I do not want it, and in your heart return to Egypt as Israel did, well, I suppose that's your choice. But I don't believe that you and I are like that. We're weak, that's our problem. But we are not like that. And we are the objects of this huge love, whereby God is willing, as I say, to humiliate himself in order by all means to save us.